Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the happy hour we go, 5:03 on this Friday evening. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scrape, Chris Ello doing a game. My camera is, once again,
cattywampus,
doing its own thing, as it typically does from time to time.
There we go. These cameras are great. I love them. But sometimes they just have a mind of their own.
For it to have AI technology in it,
But then I would come in here and he's going to be like, you have to wave it in.
Right,
and
but I'm saying, work. If you see me leaving the room, camera, stop following. I walk out the door. I feel like it should be smart enough to do that at this point.
But, Tony, my AI says to follow you.
It's clearly not. All right. Tyler Wade remains a Padre. He came to an agreement. He was one of the eight players that was up for arbitration and to be tendered a contract. No news is good news. I would say that we haven't heard that such and such has been non-tendered. Now, to be fair, we haven't heard anybody. Have we heard anybody being non-tendered at all today, even though the deadline is here?
Sorry, say that one more time.
You clearly weren't paying attention to me at all. I said, have we got any news on anybody being non-tendered around baseball today?
Oh, yes, we did. Okay, Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, yes. Who was that?
Jordan Romano.
Jordan Romano, the closer. So he'll be available. Everybody else to this point, no big names released. I feel like we would definitely know by now.
Here, let me go and update real quick on what is happening out there, because they're
that makes sense, by the way, because as we know, the closer market is, you're not trading for closers and getting a lot back, so may not have been worth tendering him a contract and then not being able to actually move him afterwards.
The Yankees reached an agreement with Trent Grisham for $5 million.
Yep.
The Dodgers and right-hander Tony Gonsolin have agreed to $5.4 million.
By the way, that's one of the arms that didn't pitch for most part last season. He'll be back.
Other than that, it's been
pretty quiet.
Dane Dunning. The only reason I know him is because he's on the
Texas
Rangers.
Yes.
He has an agreement with the Rangers. One-year deal, $2.6 million. Dustin May, actually, here's another one, settled at
another guy who
$2.135 million,
who missed all of last year.
Yeah, basically, those are the biggest names that affect the Padres.
So at this point, no non-tender news is good news for San Diego fans, because everybody who's up for arbitration are guys that I would think the Padres want to hang on to. So that's where we are there.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan India. Acquired by the Royals.
Traded to the Royals for Brady Singer.
Yeah, and then Joey Weimer is also going
Weimer,
to the Royals.
Joey Weimer, former Brewer, also Jonathan goes to the Royals. Now, in the break, Scraby uncovered another Jason Kelce incident. Yeah. Now, I didn't hear anything about this until you just put it on my radar, but apparently another wacko fan is stalking Jason Kelce, and is basically berating him because Kelce is either ignoring him at the time or just not signing for him.
Well, I'm going to play this video. It's already bleeped, but it has terrible language. This guy was waiting outside of Jimmy Kimmel Live. I think there's one person that I cannot stand more than any person, and it's the over-the-top aggressive autograph seeker. Like, I get it. You want to collect autographs, that's fine. But when you're insulting people because they're not signing your autographs, you've crossed the line. But here is this guy after Jason Kelce left Jimmy Kimmel last night.
I have a habit of not signing for people that follow where I'm going. We're here and we're not following you.
We get every guest that comes here. Okay, that's all I need to play.
You know what happened, Tony? Jason Kelce went over to this gentleman
and signed his autograph. I quit, man. You quit.
He signed his autograph. He said he.
I can't believe he was actually trying to give this dude an explanation.
He was, yeah.
I guess it makes me like Jason Kelce even more, but there's no way on God's green earth that I would have ever, or anybody, my father for that matter, would have ever signed for someone who is talking crazy. Let me stop. Did Jason Kelce do something to him?
No.
That set
him off?
He just
said he wouldn't sign.
Why is he yelling?
He explained his thing. We don't sign people that follow us out of something, which makes total sense to me. He was also behind a bunch of fences.
That's infuriating, man, to hear somebody talking to a dude that is, I mean, by all indications, just a good dude. Didn't want to sign. I'm sure Jason Kelce signs more than his fair share of autographs.
I'm sure he does, too.
And so the fact that he didn't want to sign coming out of Jimmy Kimmel, and this guy is yelling at the top of the... Now, Jason Kelce would have been... We would have been judging him if he would have walked over there and served this dude up. Verbally. We would have felt some type of way, but this guy can talk just all kinds of crazy, disrespectful, because he feels entitled to an autograph.
Adam Paul says, I collect autographs. I would never do this. I would hope people listening right now aren't doing this. And Jason Kelce, some people are surmising that because of his bad incident a couple weeks ago.
Which wasn't his fault either.
At the ground.
You know how many people, like, secretly or publicly applauded that? Like, there's been many times.
Me, I applauded that.
Many times where...
Maybe not what he said after, but I applaud the actual act of throwing the phone on the ground.
Oh. Like, I can't do anything to you personally.
But I'm going to do something
without
to your phone.
My pockets getting touched. But I'm going to get you somehow.
And he did.
You know, it would have been better if he'd have, like, broke the, like, just ripped it in his hand and then threw it.
Yes, that would have been great. That would have been like WWE or something like that. But Jason Kelce, I think that he did this because he wants to be a good guy, and he is a good guy.
This is where I believe social media comes into play, right?
Yes,
because he has to be on it. He is active on that, and there's got to be an element of him that replayed again him losing it. All of that's riddled through his mind as he's approaching his, because the human being slash football player in him probably wants to do one of them offensive lineman quick hand moves to his chest.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know
what I'm saying?
Like, I'm sure that's what he really wants to do, but he's calculating all that in his head. And you know what? He was the bigger man. I give him a ton of credit. I don't know if I could have handled somebody yelling at me and I hadn't done anything, and let alone get an autograph from him at that point.
Well, he came over and the guy was so happy at the end. And it was so everything he said literally 90 seconds before he got his autograph signed apparently meant nothing, because he was so happy that he did it, and he was congratulating him. And,
oh, I wouldn't have been able to take the congratulations. I mean, man, just don't talk to me. I'm signing this autograph. Just keep all your comments to yourself. I don't want any positivity from you at this point, because I want to punch you in your face.
You know what's crazy is that Jason and Travis Kelce are very famous. But once they got involved in the Taylor Swift famous, like, they hit a new level of famous that not even they understood. And
you think this is some of that is connected to that?
It's just connected because the Kelseys are maybe. I think that could be part of it. But this guy seems like an autograph troll anyway. But if someone's screaming F words at me,
seeker and a troll, they're like total opposites. You can't troll the person that you're trying to get an autograph and expect to get one most of the time. You got lucky. Jason Kelce was very thoughtful and did a good job of slowing that down. Right there.
He defused. But
God bless his heart.
I don't know that I could do that.
Not very. I'm pretty sure most of the people listening to our show right now, if they were in those shoes, would not have been able to first address him in a way where I'm giving him an explanation for why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, giving away your plan, bro.
B, actually sign the autograph in the end. That's the mind-blowing part.
We have a question from Doozer Chris 619.
What's up, Doozer Chris 619?
How did Big Tony handle these guys? I know you kind of talked about it.
I think it's important to remember my dad also was playing in a different era. I mean, there were some unruly fans, but I can't think of nothing close to that right there. Unless it was like a heckle during the game. Like, that's the kind of stuff that's saved for when you're playing right field and they're in the stands and they're trying to get under your skin. Not when you're trying to get an autograph or somebody.
I still don't even think that's right.
Most people went out of their way to try to say the most polite things possible so that they could get that autograph.
Yeah.
This guy took a different, the opposite route and it worked for him.
He's an older gentleman.
Maybe
in his 50s, 60s.
That ain't old enough.
No, that's too old.
That's ridiculous.
That's too old to be acting like this. It's like that guy when the Padres are, I think two All-Star games ago
this,
when he was knocking over kids.
My dad was notorious for making you work for it. Like, if you didn't say please, he definitely would check you about that. If you came out and just handed him something, he would definitely check you about that.
I love that.
If you gave him an L.A. Dodger hat to sign, he probably wouldn't sign it. He'd offer to sign something else. I mean, my dad, depending on his mood, would make you work for it.
I've actually seen you have people come up to us, and they just put down cards on the table and hand you a Sharpie, or try to hand you a Sharpie, and you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah, no,
like, I don't sign 10 cards.
I just want you to just be polite. I mean, that's how I'm going to address you, even if I don't want something from you. I just think today, we're in 2024. We see it more often than not. It is just a different energy now between fan and athlete.
It's very weird. A couple more things from the chat. Jacob says, Tony and Scraby, thank you very much for signing my Padres flag. I do remember signing Jacob's Padres flag. I have no problem signing. Just don't. If you don't cuss me out, I'll sign your stuff.
Right.
I mean,
just
no one asked me to sign stuff either except for Jacob.
That's the thing. Just don't cuss me out. It'll probably be all good.
Next one was, Ed McKee, does Tony get annoyed with people saying hi to him at the ballpark he's getting food before the game? Because that's when I always see him.
Check. That's usually true. You're going to see me getting food. No, I don't, because that's different for me. I mean, it's saying hi and I don't know. I'm still kind of, it's still foreign to me in some ways that people want to say hello to me. You know what I'm saying? My career certainly wasn't what my dad's was. So it's still, in some ways, it's not completely foreign, but in some ways, it's still like I still consider that like an honor, you know, that people care enough to want to stop me and
seriously.
Say hello. So I don't look at it that way. But that being said, I certainly wouldn't take somebody like talking to me crazy like that.
Oh yeah,
because I didn't stop and say hello or something along those lines.
I promised it would be it. Last thing I saw someone say. What if we yell first time playa? I've had people yell that at me. And it's great because that I know for fact.
That just means
there's only one place that came from.
Right. It means you're listening to the show, which is another thing that is still mind-blowing to me, that as many people bring up something that has to do with the show on a daily basis during the season, it's still mind-blowing.
I do love that.
It means a lot of you guys are listening. We are very appreciative of that. All right.
We are.
Let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here's a little traffic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
5:22 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr. Matt's great. We have a countdown. We haven't really talked about it much today. We've pushed it to 5:40.
Mm-hmm.
Scraby, tell us your inspiration behind. I'm sorry, from the corner of my from the corner of my eye, they're showing Judge's, what, 60 whatever homer.
Oh yeah.
And I kind of caught the clip like from the corner of my eye, and I see the guy jump out of the stands over the wall.
You're like, what?
It just caught me off guard.
Is this happening right now?
Just caught me off guard. Your inspiration for the countdown. This was Scraby's inspiration, by the way. He's usually trying to get us to help him with different things. He came up with this one on his own because he was inspired.
I have a non-tender candidate after for the Padres.
You know, since we're taking care of business, the 5 o'clock football hours presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Visit Buffalo Wild Wings every Friday for half-price apps and $2 off all tall drafts.
The inspiration was I was looking at I was on YouTube just watching a bunch of NFL clips, and I came about top 10 catches in 2023, and I was watching those, and it was either 2023 or 2022. Devontae Adams made a catch where he was basically horizontal to the ground as he was making the catch out of bounds. Like, his feet were still in. He was falling out. So I thought, and we did this, we kind of explained it in 20 minutes, but we're on the golf course. I go, guys, I got a great countdown topic. Top 5 toe tappers in the NFL right now. Chris was like,
I was immediately on board, and then Chris, you know, he started to panic because as he tried to run through his Rolodex, he couldn't find 5. I think in his mind, and so he was being quite difficult.
Yes, he made this topic a little difficult.
So remember, we went and played last Friday.
Yes, 1 week ago. So he had a week to think about it.
He was, and so as you hear, he ended up settling a little different than Scraby and I. But
you know what I do?
Toe draggers.
Toe drag swag, something right, like that. Right. You know what I love about Chris is that countdown topic specifically. When he has a list in mind, he's going to. That's the countdown
we're
that
going.
Day.
We're going.
Doesn't matter if you two have anything in it, because like some of them, I don't really know where to go with this. But he has 5, and he's confident.
Yeah. Listen, when that does happen, I'm not afraid to whip open the computer and just kind of go off of that. Chris is so authentic with his that it really like troubles him if he can't come up with like 5 on his own.
And oh, so, you know what I love? Yeah, yeah.
So if he can't come up with 5 on his own, he's not really feeling the topic.
You know what I love about what Kyle Glazer said during his interview yesterday with Chris, when Chris asked him to give some comps for DeVries and Ethan Salas, and then Kyle Glazer said, well, I don't normally like to comp guys that are so young. And it was such a great response because Chris does that all the time. And I could see it in his face, like he thought this was going to be a home run question. And Kyle Glazer, like, stiff-armed him. And I was like, finally, someone has put Chris in a position that I'm always in. Oh,
poor Chris, not even here to defend himself right now.
Yes.
What else you got, son?
What else you got, son? Ohio State. Playing Michigan, I think, next week.
Big
point
spread
against Michigan, which they're huge, bitter rivals. And usually it's a pretty close game. But Ohio State, it's the biggest point spread since 1978. And that would be Ohio State is a 23.5-point favorite over Michigan. Like, Michigan went all in for this national championship last year. And I don't really understand why they're so bad, because some of those guys are still on the team, but they have not been great this year.
It goes to show you that, well, first they had a lot of, seniors depart, some juniors, and they lost probably the most important piece, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
He goes to the Chargers. You see what the Chargers are doing this year. And so he's clearly made a difference. 7-3. It's been a long time since the Chargers were 7-3.
I hate that they're good. I hate that they're good, and I hate that they're like not Chargery good, you know?
They're not like blowing games late. Although I thought when that Bengals game was, I was like, oh, here it comes.
And it didn't happen. And it hasn't happened.
And that was kind of the first sign. Like,
and
oh man.
Justin Herbert like has found his guy.
I tell you what, I never quite gave up full fanatic.
Yeah,
from the Chargers for myself, I still
watch
them.
You took a step back.
I did. I don't like. I'm not like dying over their wins and losses anymore. But you know, it's the only team I ever rooted for, so I can't stay mad that long. I mean, for those of y'all that's been able to keep it up, I ain't mad at you. But
I'm gonna be.
I can't.
Yeah, I'm gonna be sad on Monday though, because 49ers are playing in Green Bay. I believe it was snowing in Green Bay, but they're going to be without two of their best players. 49ers are going to be missing Brock Purdy.
Well, they pretty much were out one of those best players last week when they won. He didn't play that much.
No, Nick Bosa didn't play in the second half.
He was out pretty much
in
the first, yeah.
And look what
happened. And he was terrible in the first half because he looked like he was hurting every
time. And Geno Smith ran all over them, which Geno Smith doesn't run on anyone.
Shout out to the Seahawks. Second place in that division right now behind the Arizona Cardinals. Who would have thunk it?
I wouldn't have thunk it, no. But they still have time. Chris keeps whispering and texting 5-7 because they're going to lose to, he thinks they're going to lose to the Pack. They're going to lose to the Bills next week, which if we're being honest, they're going to lose to the Bills. It's on the road. Bills coming out of a bye week.
The Bills, they still got stuff to prove on there. I know everybody is so in love with them because they got rid of their really good wide receiver, and Josh Allen seems to be thriving. But as I said to Greg earlier, this, much like the Ravens, much like the Lions, much like, you know, Buffalo's in that category. Steelers are in that category. They got it. It's about once you get to the playoffs. I think all four of those teams, five of those teams are shoo-ins for the playoffs. I don't think anybody's ever doubted that. Maybe Pittsburgh, you doubt it. But at the end of the day, especially for the Ravens, the Bills, and the Lions, no one really cares what you're doing in the regular season. It's what you do come postseason. And, you know, no one will be more under that microscope than Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, who hasn't been able to quite get it done in the playoffs.
And the Lions.
And
they're going to be the hunted. I'm telling you, it's going to be a whole different vibe for them.
Could you stop saying that? They're not the hunted.
They are the hunted.
I think they're not because they are the Lions. I think if there's anybody else, they would be the hunt. But I think in every back of everyone's mind, they're still the Lions, even though they're the best team in football right now.
My non-tender question for you.
Oh, it's a quiz question for
me.
It's
a question because the Rockies have non-tendered Cal Quantrill.
Okay.
He's a free agent now.
Free agent.
Is that someone the Padres could be back in on? I know that they traded him away at one point, so maybe they don't think good things about him, but...
You could never have enough arms.
Yeah.
Again, you got the wild card, Ruben.
Yeah, he started 29 games last year for the Rockies.
In Colorado,
4.98 ERA, but in Colorado.
His probably most famous start came in Boston?
Oh,
it was in Colorado,
Boston. Yes, when he started yelling at that catcher.
Yeah, he was quite upset for some extracurricular activities that had taken place years before. He had a long memory that he had nothing to do with, by the way.
And no one even remembered until he just started yelling, which I like about him. He's a crazy person.
He is a crazy person. You need I'm telling you, you need a few of those on your team.
Yes.
Because when push comes to shove, the crazy folks are the ones that are going to stand out the most.
I will be behind them in line as they're fighting in front of me.
All right, so quick news for the Padres. As I mentioned, Tyler Wade agreed to a contract for the 2025 season with a club option for 26.
Oh, okay.
Non-tendered for the Padres.
Hold on. Let me brace myself.
Logan Gillespie.
Okay.
Luis Patino, who I predicted would be the one. Bryce Johnson. And Mason McCoy.
Okay.
All three out of the four dudes were contributors on that team last year.
Mason McCoy had some good defensive moments for them.
Remember when Kim initially went down, it was Mason McCoy that filled the shortstop spot. And he did all right for a little bit.
Yeah.
Bryce Johnson filled in at times. And Logan Gillespie filled in at times and did well. So those are the four guys that the Padres decided to non-tender. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, the countdown, top five toe tap. What'd you call it? Toe drag swag.
Toe drag swag.
Toe drag swaggers for the wide receiver position. More Gwynn and Chris. Stupid camera. Last segment of the day. Countdown headed your way here shortly. Tony Gwynn Jr. Mass Gravy 2:05, not 2:37. Thank God. 5:37 on the clock.
Man, I can't do another 5 hours.
Scravy Chronicles up next. Scravy, what you got on deck for the show today?
That's a great question.
Sounds like he doesn't know, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I have my daily gripe, obviously. I want to talk about Daniel Jones a little bit. I feel like the New York Giants failed him. But everything's going to work out for him. I'll talk about that. Also, the tender, non-tender stuff we'll go over. Plus, the have you seen this? I don't know how to explain it, I guess. Jaguar, the company.
Jaguar has
a new logo, and everybody is making fun of it.
Oh, Jaguar. This is like their second makeover in like the last... I know. I feel like they had one when I was in school, like in college.
Because not many people are buying Jaguar anymore.
Well, I do.
Jaguar.
I do remember like their engines like exploding and like going out. So yeah, I'm sure people kind of feel a little different about it. Do you have a picture of the logo? That's why I got up because I thought you had a picture.
Oh, I see. Yes, it's very very. People are just making fun of it because it's so simple. There it was, Tony. This is their new logo.
Oh, it's not even like a cat anywhere. It's just Jaguar.
Just letters. And it's very boring.
Super boring.
And the commercial that they released has nothing in it other than people. There's no cars. They're like on Mars. And so Elon Musk, I have to say, was pretty funny. He replied, "Do you guys even make cars?"
That is
Which I'm not
funny,
a fan of his, but I thought that was hilarious. I should say this. Happy second birthday to my little niece, Lydia. She's having her birthday party tomorrow. And I am very excited to, you know, be there for her. She finally is getting to the point where she's okay with me. She didn't know about me for a long time.
It took all of us a little time to be okay with you. I mean, I kind of feel her on that.
We were talking about someone, and Greg said, this person's kind of odd, just like you, Scravy. I'm like, all right. But yeah, happy birthday to your old Lydia.
Happy birthday, Lydia. Before I send us to the countdown, I had a thought today. Is it just me, or does it seem like everybody is trying to force Deion Sanders into the NFL but Deion Sanders?
A lot of people want him to.
I feel like he said no like a bunch of times, and more people keep saying, he's going to the NFL.
Maybe they just know that that's
how these things usually work out.
It's that enticing to someone once they start giving you money. But I do believe Deion's a superstar. He doesn't need to go back to the NFL if he doesn't want to.
No, I don't.
It's not the natural progression for him.
I don't know that him and Jerry Jones would work that great together, even though they've had a great relationship to this point.
I know you guys talked about him coaching Shador in the NFL.
I haven't talked about it.
Okay, well, people have. When is it time for Deion to let go?
I think that's his intention.
Okay, good.
It's to let his son go.
Because that would be strange to have him coach him
every step of the way. There's a lot of parents out there, if they could... And it was lucrative enough, they would follow their kid around everywhere.
That's not best for your kid,
though. Maybe not. We should ask Shador how he feels about it. All right.
I think Shador's fine.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, let's get to our countdown. Top five toe drag swag.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we've had a lot of controversy about today's countdown. Most of the controversy has been in trying to actually nail down exactly what it is we want the subject to be.
Yes.
Just a tad of a backstory before we get into it. And, of course, every week we count down something normally in the world of sports. Today we are in the world of sports for sure. But Scraby saw... Remind me who it was, Scraby, who made the catch that gave you this idea.
Well, it was... Okay, so I was lost in a YouTube hole, and I was watching a top 10 catches of the 2023 season, and so I thought about this.
Okay, and somebody made a catch near the sideline.
I think it was Davante Adams, honestly.
Okay, Davante Adams. And you saw that, and you thought, boy, this is a great category.
Yes.
Let's do the top five toe tappers in the National Football League.
And when I told you guys this,
we both
had a toe tapper would be somebody that can make a catch near the sidelines, tap their toes down, and stay in bounds.
Yes.
And so that was how this was born. The only problem I personally had was trying to actually think of five guys that are really especially good at toe
tapping. You can roll a dice and put them on your list.
Well, I could, but I like to do my list based on something that I perceive to be.
Everybody know that Chris has been difficult about this subject. This is where we're going with this.
Yeah, I guess that's the way to do it. So I kind of brought up, maybe we should just do five guys who make the best catchers or the greatest catches or something. I think both you and Tony said, okay, kind of. But right before we went to do this segment, Scraby goes, all right, we're doing toe tapping, right? And Tony goes, we're doing toe tapping, right? And I'm like, no, I didn't do toe tapping. So that's the controversy we have.
We've changed it to top five NFL wide receivers who catch great passes near the sideline.
I'm going with toe tappers.
Okay.
Tony wants toe tappers. And Scraby, you originated toe tappers.
Yes.
All I will say is my five guys all, in my estimation, make great catches. And I assume they can make them near the sidelines if need be.
Okay, so. We'll be the judge of that as we go along.
All right, yes. So that's what I'm going to do.
On the NFL judge. Network, they do something called toe drag swag.
Ah, yeah.
And so I thought, anyway, let's go into it.
It really is more of a toe draggers versus tappers.
Yeah. I mean, because you can go deep.
That hurts your toes. You're tapping a little too hard in that cold weather like last night.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of want to drag.
Do you think the players go...
And I don't know if they make that sound effect. No.
I don't think people could see
actually,
my feet.
I don't think they make that sound effect at all when they make the catch.
I wish people could see my feet because I do my feet tapping the ground real quick. My number five is...
Trying to pretend like you're wearing ballet shoes.
My number five is someone who's returning from injury this week. He makes amazing catches. Mike Evans. Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver. Doesn't matter if it's a 50-50 ball. He'll come in down with it inbounds. He'll have it one-handed. He'll grab it out of the air. He'll lay out horizontally on the sideline to catch a pass. Mike Evans is fun to watch, and that's my number five. Tony?
My number five toe dragger is a tough son of a gun. Amon-Ra St. Brown. This guy is... I think on the sideline as good as it gets. And he doesn't have the length that Evans has or Davante Adams. So he's a smaller dude, but he drags that toe as well as anybody. Number five, Mr. St. Brown.
Yes, Chris.
All right, my number five is, and again, my list is. I took out great athleticism because there's a lot of receivers in the NFL who can run amazingly fast and are always open. But I didn't include those. I included guys that I feel make tough catches in traffic. So my number five guy is Terry McLaurin of the Commanders.
Yeah.
I've watched this guy for so long, and he's never plays with a good quarterback, really until this year. But if the ball is anywhere in his direction, it seems like he always comes down with it. On the sideline, in the middle of the field, I think Terry McLaurin's one of the... And he's underrated by a mile because no one ever talks about him. But I think McLaurin's one of my favorite receivers to watch.
Yes, he was just barely cut from my list, Terry McLaurin.
Oh, really?
Number four.
My number four went for it was a couple different people, but I'm going to land on Eagles wide receiver Devontae Smith.
Oh,
he's like Gumby a little bit. He can bend in any way that he needs to find that ball and catch
Slight
it.
Slight of build.
Slight of build. People weren't sure if he was going to be good in the NFL because he was so small, but he's using his stature to catch passes that no one else can catch. So I say Devontae Smith, Tony.
Very good.
Where are we at?
Four.
Number four. I just lost mine here. Oh, here we go. Number four. Amazing pass catcher in general, but one of the best on the sideline, and that's Cooper Kupp.
Mm.
Another little guy. Can drag his feet. He's not one of those guys that they have to run the replay back because he didn't actually get his foot down. He's usually, they got to run it back because they initially ruled it incomplete. They go back and look, and that toe is dragging across the turf for a first down.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Chris?
He's awesome. I wanted to get one tight end into my pass catchers. And my first thought was obviously Travis Kelce. And then I thought, you know, Travis Kelce is pretty much always open, and he's also got Patrick Mahomes, so he has an advantage. I went for this guy, and I've noticed it this year watching him because he is on my fantasy team, but I never realized how good he was. And that is this Trey McBride of the Arizona Cardinals.
Very athletic.
Look at some of the catches this guy has made this year. Kyler Murray, I think, just throws it up hoping.
Yeah.
And this guy comes down with it in traffic, on the sidelines, two defenders, whatever it is. I've seen him make some incredible catches that I thought there was no chance he had. So Trey McBride makes my list as number four.
That's a really good one. He's incredibly athletic. He's not a tight end. He's a wide receiver in a tight end's body. He's kind of like Brock Bowers a little bit.
A little bit.
Number three.
My number three is someone who played last night, didn't have as many catches, but George Pickens. That guy is the inventor of the double toe tap with the same foot.
Yeah.
If anybody can tap their toe twice while falling to the ground, you are going to make my list.
They need to change that rule, too, by the way.
They're going to have to clarify
it a lot
more.
They got
you.
2 feet should be the same as a knee, as two different feet.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, Tony. George Pickens makes amazing catches. He might be the only player in the league is must watch because you have no idea what's going to happen. Whether he's gonna go start fighting some player in the back of the end zone or he's going to make a great catch.
He also is a tough catch maker too. Like
he
can
guy.
Go get the tough ones, the contested ones for sure. All right, number three on my might still be, even though he is not the same wide receiver he was, might still be the best toe dragger, tough catcher in NFL, and that's D-Hop. Anything that touches his hands is likely going to stick. Mr. 99 himself is number three on my list. Not the same deep threat or just, you know, number one wideout that he once was, but as you can see, the Chiefs, when Mahomes needs a first down, that's typically who he's been looking for, and he's been able to come up with a catch.
Do you remember when Chris had a really hard time?
Yes, he was very upset with the 99 for D-Hop.
When DeAndre Hopkins was
I think he was upset with 99s in general. I think D-Hop was just the first one that popped up.
Yes, I think in our show history. I'll never forget our first, guys. Chris, who's your number three?
My number three is Cooper Kupp. Tony mentioned him already. I think he's the best hands in the game. Just flat out hands. And Tony's right. He can reach outside the sideline and the ball will stick to one hand and then he'll bring it into his body as he's getting both feet down and staying in bounds. And the kind of catches he makes, I just think are insane. And he doesn't look nearly athletic as a lot of these guys he's playing with, but he is that athletic to make just incredible catches out there. Anything, I've never seen one in his area that has fallen to the ground.
And he's not afraid to go over the middle.
No, he'll go anywhere.
Yeah, he will. All right.
Number two.
I left Cooper Kupp off the list. I couldn't put a Ram on there.
Yeah.
My number two.
That's why your list is always a little bit has to come with an asterisk.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't think of Cooper Kupp. I think of Cooper Kupp as a great wide receiver. I don't put him in, like, Mike Evans range. But anyway, you guys, it's your list. My number two, Ja'Marr Chase, Bengals wide receiver. I know you guys give me a hard time because I said he's done nothing this year, and he's had 12 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards so far. But this guy can catch anything that is thrown to him. He can locate the ball anywhere in the sky. If you're going to throw it up to someone on the Bengals, it's going to be him because he'll come down with it. So, Ja'Marr Chase. Tony, you're number two?
Ja'Marr Chase is also number two. This dude is ever since he's been in the league, he has been that
except
guy.
For that preseason where he was dropping everything and everybody was worried, but
that's just going to
no
show
effect.
You. I forgot about that. I don't remember that at all. He's not only come out here and been the best wide receiver, one of the best this year, but he is underpaid and playing very angry. And I hope he has made himself so much money that he is fortunate enough to get the hell out of Cincinnati.
Chris, you're number two?
Ja'Marr Chase is not my number two. I did consider him, obviously, for this list because he's the top receiver in the league. But I didn't put him on my list because he's always too open, as far as I'm concerned. I don't see him having to make as many difficult catches as some of these other guys because he's just so open. It's ridiculous. So he kind of eliminated him from my list because he's so good. My number two, I think this guy makes the greatest catches in the game right now, and that's Justin Jefferson of the Vikings. All you have to do is go back to that one Buffalo game a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
When it was 4th and 20, and he went up between five guys, and somehow the ball found his hands, and he stayed with it. Justin Jefferson almost every time comes down with it. So I think he's the best tough catch guy in the league, or at least number two for this list.
He did not make my list, and I feel weird about it, to
you
be
should.
Honest. I do. But Chris just like said something that I forgot about. That was a pretty amazing catch. I think their season was basically on the line as well.
Yeah.
So number one. My number one, I think this guy has the greatest catch of this season and maybe the greatest catch I've seen in a little bit. Garrett Wilson of the Jets. That he's Gumby. He really is. He will bend to any shape that he needs to get the ball into his hands. And against the Texans a few weeks ago, when he made that one-handed catch when he was going out of the back of the end zone and he got his shin down to make it a complete catch and a touchdown, that was one of the better catches I think I've ever seen. And I even think it's better than the Odell catch in the very same stadium when he was falling backwards as a rookie in on the Giants. So Garrett Wilson, number one. Tony?
You know what? I need to go back and make an omission. I left Garrett Wilson out. He probably should have been like four on my list or five. Yeah, he's one of the better catchers as well. I just tried to mix in some of the guys who've been in the league as well.
No, I like this. We have different players.
Number one on my list is Justin Jefferson. I don't think there's a better pass catcher, tough catcher, toe dragger, whatever you want to call it.
JJ.
Jettus, as he calls himself. I think he's the number one receiver when it comes to all of it.
Chris?
I'll say one thing for JJ. He sure has helped Kirk Cousins make a lot of money, that's for sure. My number one, the only guy I could think to remotely and kind of beat out Justin Jefferson is a guy Tony already mentioned. I think the number one receiver in all of football, with all of the attributes taken into consideration, is Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Lions, along with his ability to get open, his speed, his amazing catch ability. He's also the strongest, toughest son of a gun in the entire league. And that might be at any position, thanks to the fact his dad was Mr. Olympia.
I was going to say, his dad
if you've ever listened to his dad on his podcast, you understand, for
yes,
sure.
And he's probably been working out since he's 1 year old. But I just think he's indestructible almost out there. And so I gave him the nod over Justin Jefferson.
All right, very, very good list, guys. That ended up being a successful countdown, I believe.
Of course, they always are successful.
They always are, even when we do top five countdowns on our top five countdowns. So,
that was a doozy.
That
right
was
there.
A doozy.
Great countdown there from the group. 5 o'clock football hours presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Visit Buffalo Wild Wings every Friday for half-price apps and $2 off all tall drafts. I do it that slow because I bungle tall drafts, $2 tall drafts, doing it too fast.
Yeah, so it's too many T's.
It's a lot of T's. All right, that's going to do it for this week's shows. We'll be back at it again Monday. All three in the building. The Scraby Chronicles up next. Have a good weekend.